in order to recover.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for reading. The topic for this workshop is we learn to set aside our prejudices and focus on our common identity as addicts.
Is that correct?
Okay. And I would like to introduce our first speaker, is Deb Boy.
I knew you was going to do that. I have to say it, excuse me. I'm an addict. My name is Deborah. Man, I'm real grateful to be here. I want to thank the Hackney Committee for believing in me enough to come and share our life-saving message, along with my experience, strength, and hope. I'm real nervous, and I got to say something. I really got to say this because it's just really running through my damn head. You know, when I first walked in the door, man, look, because it's talking about prejudice in here. And let me go back to it. It's that we learn to set aside our prejudices. I'm going to break that whole topic down. Because when I walked in, and this ain't even got nothing to do with prejudice, I saw all these white people. And the first thing come in my head, you know you don't do well with them. You need to just leave right now. You know, but I'm real grateful. Dictionaries are NA approved. And you know, to look up the word prejudice, because what it means is a preconceived opinion not based on reasoning. See, and that's what I struggle with. Second step here. You know, it's a tremendous struggle to stop relying on my own damn reasoning. Now, I cuss. Let me say that because it's going to get a little strong in a minute. And I ain't asking for no help. You know, I ain't trying to stop. Look, because I do believe that the newcomer is the most important person in any meeting, because we can only keep we have by giving away. Because look, I couldn't hear you unless you were saying motherfucker. I couldn't hear you unless you said, come on here, bitch. Stop that shit, hoe. You see what I'm saying? So don't take it personal. Because it ain't personal. They tell me to calm the fuck down, calm the fuck out, and get out your head, Deborah. Because I go there instantly. But I'm grateful for the people that are in my life. Look, I had to turn to 119, and it works out well. I'm going to come back. I'm going to try to bring it all in. Because when I sat here next to Mike, see, I sat over here first. Then I looked at him. I say, I don't want you to see my prejudice. So I'm going to come and sit beside you. But it wasn't even really about that. Because I got up here and my mind said, you ain't got nothing to say. Because we're talking about our common. It say to set aside our prejudices and focus on our common identity as addicts. Right? So I got to, I remember, because when it's time to go to the party, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I ain't really trying to look at nothing, but then I peep at it anyway, and then I go right up here. And I had to turn to 119. It says, developing a personal style of carrying the message rests on a simple requirement. See, it's real simple, but I'm the difficult motherfucker. See, I complicate everything based on my reasoning, right? It says we must be ourselves. So when I saw all y'all, now I got to act a certain way. I got to, you know, because see, I want y'all to believe I'm a real good recovering motherfucker. You know, you got to look at me. There's nothing wrong with me. But y'all already know I'm fucked up because of our common identity as addicts. I love, and I was glad when I walked in and saw Mike, because I love what Mike read out of the step work guys last night. The first step out of the disease of addiction, right? Because, you know, the prejudices, and like I said, it's a preconceived opinion, not even based on no reasoning, not even something that is making any sense. It's supposed to make sense. It's supposed to be practical. You know what I'm saying? But see, addiction distort rational thought. Knowledge just says no one of us is capable of even making a good decision on a consistent basis. And see, I'll make one today. And my mind says you can make four or five more. And that shit don't come out good. It says, what makes us addicts is the disease of addiction, not the drugs and not our behavior. I'm going to stop right there, because we're talking about the prejudice that I had to come in here and learn to set aside. Because see, you my damn friend. And if I don't like her ass, I don't want you to like her either. You don't need to like her either. I'm finna share my experience with that. Right? I don't want you to like her because I don't like her. That's a prejudice. But I don't like her, hit a hit, behind her behaviors. Right? My idea that she need to act a certain way. You know, my small breakfast mom, she'll say, have you ever done it? These are three questions you need to ask yourself. Have you ever thought about doing it? And are you capable of doing it? See, and I always end up with yes behind each three, or each one. Because most of all, if you're an addict, your ass capable of doing any damn thing, DeBoer. And you are. But I'm real great. And I'm going to read on. Not our behavior, but our disease. There is something within us that makes us unable to control our use of drugs. This same something also makes us prone to obsession and compulsion in other areas of our lives. How can we tell when our disease is active? When we become trapped in obsessive, compulsive, and self-centered routines. That shit I do all the time. Them routines. Endless loops that lead nowhere but to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional decay. Now, when I'm looking at them damn behaviors in others, my mind always tell me that ain't me. See, I'm a little bit better than you. And that's not true. I let you say no one of us is superior or inferior, right? But I am. I tell myself that shit. I even have ideas. In the guiding principle, it talks about listening to the lone voice. Mm-hmm. See, you come in here with, I'm just sharing my experience. You come in here 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I always talk about newcomers. It's just so important to me. By the time they open their mouth, get ready to share, I close up. I don't want to hear. Ain't been here long enough. Tell me nothing. It's the prejudice I carry, right? My preconceived ideas. Short-circuiting my spiritual growth. Because what the newcomer have to say is very important. Because it could be the one thing that could help save my damn life. If they just come in here and tell me how it is for them right now. And what they trying to do about it today. That's what I need to hear. Because we're not really concerned about all that other shit. We only want to know what you want to do about your problem. And how you can help. But if they ain't telling me that, or if I ain't hearing that, I want them to shut the fuck up. And that's not fair. Because they listened at your ass, DeBoer, when you came in here sick, stupid, and crazy, turning around, disrupting the goddamn meeting, marching to the goddamn cop, all that old stupid shit. Didn't nobody tell you to get the fuck out? They didn't even say, shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, when you came in here, I came in here 5 years loaded. 5 years. And I thought all y'all ass was picking on me and shit. Well, one had it. You know, because he was sharing the message. And I said he was sharing his shit. He said that an addict, any addict, stop using drugs, lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And my mind say he picking on us. And I say us, because I come in here with a lot of people in my head. A lot of them. And they say, we ain't gonna never stop. Lose the desire. I'll find a new way to live. Let's just go on to the dope house right now. And I did that for 5 years. But I got put in a place where I got with the most important thing that tradition one talks about in the basic text. That I had to learn that self-sufficiency was a lie. Because I didn't believe y'all could help me. I really thought I could do this shit on my fucking own. And I tried. And all my attempts failed. I say, you know, I had been saying, here later, a lady at me, she say, do you believe addicts have common sense? Oh, hell no. Intelligent like a motherfucker, but ain't got no damn common sense. Coming in here 5 years, watching the same motherfucker sitting in the goddamn meeting. My mind said they using too. It wasn't until I come back after going to jail, coming back and they still here, I finally got they doing something. Common sense would have told me then. But I didn't have none. I had no common sense. It talked about, since we learn to set aside our prejudices and focus on our common identity as addicts, each of us has an equal right to the responsibility for the well-being of Narcotics Anonymous. Let me say each of us, as individuals, that's all of us, each. See, I come in here and think it's my responsibility. You don't have a soul, and when you do, you need to be saying the way I want you to say it. And need to be looking how I want it to look. I had to do a self-examination this morning. I was talking to my sponsor, and she said, "Baby, my dear, you need to allow yourself to be human." You know, but they all tell me, not all of them, just a few in my home group, you know, they say, you want to be perfect. See, now I close up because they don't really know me. I'm talking about the place I go every day. Sit in the meeting and share my feelings and my thinking with. And I tell myself the disease will tell me they don't know us. We got this. They hating. And see, once I think you hating, then I done cut myself off. You know what? It says we cannot transmit something we do not have. Right? But I need to know that everyone in here has something to offer. And I need to remember that. Because I'll quickly forget. Even with dealing with my family, and with the people outside. I had an experience yesterday. Powerlessness, right? And I had to go to the jail in Conroe, Montgomery jail. My daughter was locked up. She had to go to court. And I got there, because she's still in the system with CPS, right? And so I didn't like the woman, because she called my daughter her baby. That's my baby. And she kept saying, there go my baby right there. That was pissing me off. Mm. Now, it pissed me off. And so the first time I had told her the day before on the phone when I talked to her, she called her baby. I said, that's my baby. She said, well, you don't want to share. I said, not even a toe. So when we get there, she did it again. Now we're talking about my thinking, the disease of addiction, right? She picking at me because she said, there go my baby right there. Yeah. Several times. She ain't said one time. She said more than one time. So now she picking at me because I've already told her that's my baby. So don't say that no more. In other words, you don't get it. You're not understanding. That's my baby. So anyway, I just said she in CPS custody, right? So I haven't fully got her back. Don't know if I want her back. Things are happening. She's getting her own experience now. Well, if you're an addict, you already know what that looks like. I ain't got to tell you about the horrors of addiction. Right? We've all visited that place. But I want her to get better, but I don't want to get better with me. I think she needs to go to another place where she can get some help. Because, see, my idea of helping her is for her to just meet me at the meeting. And my sponsor say, my dear, you can't be like that. You know, I don't want to hear what she got to say. Because it causes me to feel some things. She went through a lot of things in 29 days. And now I don't want to feel it. And I may be kind of jumping all over y'all. I really don't understand what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tie it back into the topic in just a minute. And going through the things she go through, they want me to listen at her. I don't want to hear that shit. Because, see, if you're a mother, see, it's something about a mother and their child. See, some of y'all men may not understand it. Maybe the men might understand my little baby girl. But I'm talking about a mother and his child. That will run real deep. And my daughter, she want to come home with me now. And I would like that. But I can't, you know, when you untreated. She want to talk to me. She want to counsel with me. She want to express what happened to her in 29 days. My thinking is, what she went through in 29 days, I didn't do in 25 years. I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to listen at the long voice. Mm-hmm. Not open to it, because that's my daughter. I'm grateful for the people in our fellowship. A lady told me, she said, how many addicts you talk to on a daily basis, Deborah? On the phone. How many ladies you work with? Right? Why all you go and carry the message? And you can't listen at your door. But you don't understand. But they really do understand. Because they've been there. And that's why I'm so grateful I can come in here and share with y'all my thinking and my feeling behind it, along with my prejudices about it. Because I have entitlement issues. See, I'm mama, and everybody needs to know it and respect that. I was listening to the lady share earlier when she was talking about the self-will. How I mean, it's hot in here too. How it leads me, I want to do that too. Thank you for doing that. How it leads me, because I have hot flashes. How it leads me to make decisions. Yeah, I do. I ain't wearing my wig, so I won't pull it off on y'all. Look, how it leads me to make decisions based on manipulation, right? Ego, lust, or false pride. And manipulating all my life, I wanted to talk about the distrust in myself. See, but I want to say is y'all. It's easier to blame y'all. But when I have to examine me. See, you know, this morning started out real rocky for me. Because sometimes I take my shit and put my shit on you. See, I can't be trusted. So I'm always on pins and needles. I'm the treasure of the home group. The accountability that I have to the group. Look, I got principles that Narcotics Anonymous has given me as a result of step work, and one of them is integrity. I ain't never had that shit.
Yeah.
I'm loving that shit today.
Yeah.
People fucking respect you when you got some damn integrity. It feels good. It helps my self-esteem.
Yes, it does.
To practice the principle of integrity. So while I'm watching me so careful, because I just told y'all, if you add, you capable of doing anything, I'm watching your ass too. And I become suspicious of the very people that can help me the most. I really do. I'm not just talking about the people that can help. I'm talking about the people that have helped me. Damn, let me get on. I'm talking about the people that have guided me, have worked with me, never turned their back on me, believed in me, and been there for me every day. And because I don't trust myself, I won't trust their ass either. And they never gave me no reasoning. Said based on no reason. The prejudice, right? Preconceived opinion based on no fucking reason. Deborah, when you gonna get with your goddamn reasoning is fucked up. So then in that process, I'm trying to force my beliefs. Because, see, I got to dress it up and look good. I told y'all, y'all got to look at me. I'm just a recovering motherfucker. And I got to dress it up and look good. I'm just doing my job. Now, I am. It's a part of my job. Right? It's my responsibility to the goddamn group to report what I issue out to each trusted servant as far as the funds. It's my responsibility to take in goddamn receipts and give a full report, a monthly report, to the damn group. But it's my responsibility to ride your ass and watch how you recover in here. Because it's not. I bet you didn't tell me that. You say I'm responsible for my own recovery.
That's right.
But how I feel about me is how I'll treat you today.
All right.
I would treat you. You feel that shit, don't you? Yeah. I will. I do it where I live all the time. It's real painful to share with y'all my truth. And I mean, really, because now I want to shut the fuck up and sit down. Because I'm in a place where I, and I'm talking about in my house now, where I won't even let a person say nothing because I believe they don't know nothing. And that's not good. And I'm going to tell you, they've been here for 11 years in this program. And because they ain't never took no damn steps and just now getting into the step working process. You feel what I'm going to do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They can't tell me shit. I've just labeled them, judged them, and cut myself off from them. Won't even allow them to help me. And when they do, because they do, I won't even acknowledge it. I won't even let them know it. And my reason for not letting them know it, their head gonna get big. But I can let them know when they sharing some bullshit, I believe. That's just my shit. But I put my shit on you. Look, what I love, I'm going to see if I can pull it back up. Talking about the prejudices, right? This was another definition. And I started out right there But it went somewhere else. Look, it's another definition that I like to buy. Give rise to prejudice in someone. Make bias. Seeing what you think about somebody, you can just say it to me. I don't even have to know that. I have just jumped on your wagon, and I'm riding with you, because your belief and your opinion has now become mine, and that ain't necessarily true, right? But I'll do that today. Now, I had no idea I was going to come here and tell y'all all about my goddamn prejudices. But see, the hit in this whole thing is say we learn. This is a program for learning. We learn to set aside our prejudices. I like the word set aside. They talk about removing our defects, right? Look, remove is to set aside. Look, we learn, but I have to learn. How do I learn to do that? Through the principles to borrow. Applying principles. But I got the first, you know what, because in coming up here, I sat here and I started to pray, and I was praying for the courage, right, to share with y'all, not knowing I was going to come here and tell y'all what goes on in my head and the many prejudices that I have throughout the fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. When I say that, I'm talking about the experienced members, too. Because I get a little head full of this goddamn information, and the experienced member don't know shit. I'm talking about I've just because I get a good first, second, and third, I'm finna start building in the fourth on my foundation, right? I got some information now. I done had some few experiences. Can't tell me shit. I know who I am. And all that shit you taught me, your ass was manipulating me. I'm talking about the experienced member. Everybody in my circle, everybody becomes suspect. I'm even talking about my damn sponsor. Yeah. I done examined her. I called my, look, let me tell you, somebody said something to me. I told you how I picked shit up. Somebody made one statement to me. I done examined everybody in my life, text my sponsor, and told her, fuck her, don't even want to fuck with her no more. You ain't never for me, and da, 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 da. We can't work this damn program without a sponsor. Not the staff. And wasn't none of that with my reality. But I take your perception and make it my reality. For me, anonymity, because it was talking about in the context of unity, anonymity means that the message of recovery is for every addict who wants it. I had to go back to the who wants it. I think somebody was sharing the other night, and it's in our literature that I can't even measure your desire. But see, I'm that damn addict. I won't do that too. Say, we try not to judge. Just try. But I do that shit. Walk in that damn door. I have observed you. And before you walk out, I've made my assessment. I ain't spent 2 minutes to introduce myself to you, but I've come up with a preconceived idea of who you are. And I do that today. The common identity as addicts is the disease of addiction. And I need to know that. It runs real wild in my life. I literally calls it a violent, destructive power. And its job is to cut me off from every last one of y'all. Because, see, I literally saved my only hope. is to live by the example of those who have faced my dilemma and found a way out. But when you got a disease of addiction, every damn day it'll tell you you don't really need them people. Mm. But all I know to do is go to the meeting. I don't know if any newcomers in here, if they are, look, anything go on in the course of a day, I'm talking about anything, get to the goddamn meeting. That's been my experience in coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. But most important, these last few weeks, I've been dealing with what I've been dealing with my daughter. All I know to do is go to the meeting. I find myself pulling up at the door. It ain't even open, but just sitting right there at the damn group. It's an energy or spirit that can be felt. And I can feel it if I just pull up at the goddamn door. I don't care what's going on. And another thing that's real important, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. Thank you. If you knew, I let you say this. It says, we are addicts seeking recovery. Yeah. The ultimate weapon for an addict is a recovering addict. Mm-hmm. And I need to know that when it says recovering addict, see, recovery means an active change in my ideas and attitudes. All right. See, if I'm not talking to a recovering addict, that shit ain't gonna happen. I was on my way to the meeting, real bad day, and I called my sister. Now, I don't want to say she ain't an addict. She just undiagnosed. But I'm gonna say she's not a recovering addict. And I told her about my day, and I just wanted to choke this woman till her tongue popped out. She said, girl, I know, kill them all. See, that's what you get when you ain't talking to no recovering addict. But when you call a recovering addict, and they say, all right, DeBora, it's time to look at the first principle of this program. It's called abstinence. Just stop. At first, we must stop the behavior. Mm-hmm. You can't go putting your hand on goddamn people. Where your first step at? Got no goddamn power. But when I find myself in that state, I want to exert some. But I'm real grateful. That's why I say, if you're new, man, please. They told me to get with the winners. Yeah. And when you get with them, stick with them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do today. Man, I love to go all over the world and listen to people should carry this message. Because they help me and they keep me on my head. Because I go there very often. Often. It says obsession is a never-ending stream of thoughts. Sometimes my mind goes so much, I act, will you shut the fuck up? And they just don't stop. Man, but I'm real grateful to be here and be given a new way to live. And I live through the principles, and they're not always easy for me. I said simplicity is the key. Key means a solution. Solution is in the steps, right? And simplicity is simple. Simple means easy, but it ain't always easy for me. I'm just talking about me. Because I can't just jump on top of surrender. Abstinence either. Acceptance. Because see, I think when I look at acceptance, I got to like it. It says something we must accept, DeBora. It didn't say you had to like it. It just said you must accept it. And that is reality. Okay, I'm babbling now. I'm real. Man, I'm real grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Help me thank DeBora for sharing her experience, strength, and hope with us. Our next speaker is Mike.
My name's Michael. I'm an addict. I'm just an addict. Not a recovering addict, even though I've been accused of that. I'm not a grateful addict, even though at times I've practiced to do that. I'm not an anda anymore. I'm just an addict. And this reading that we have today has a lot to talk about unity. Mm-hmm. And my identification as an addict is really, really important. Mm-hmm. I took that for granted for a long, long time. So my name is Michael and I'm an addict.
Amen.
And I've been clean since January 10th, 1993, and I'm extremely, extremely grateful. Ooh. I love my clean date, man. That's when good. I first came in, I'd hear people talk about their clean date, and I didn't give a fuck about their clean date because I had 90 days or 2 days or 5 days or whatever. Yeah, 20 years, I couldn't relate to you. Why do you even tell me that shit? Today, that's the only thing I own is my clean date. Everything else I can lose, either by choice or life can happen. Life can happen and not take my clean date away. Wow, that's pretty powerful. So I protect it with my life because my life depends on it. A couple of disclaimers. One, I cuss a little bit.
That's good.
The second thing, I want to talk about my experience, and just my experience. If I give you an opinion, that means that I have no experience. Narcotics Anonymous talks about experience a lot, so I try to stay as close as I can to the literature. You know, and I love our literature, man. I always like that we can read something and we can get five people can read it in five different ways, which is great. I think it's wonderful. You know, when I first read this, I went all kinds of different places. In fact, one of the things that I always struggle with is if I get too much time to think about whatever the topic is or lead a meeting, I'll start, well, what about condition three? Well, how about five? You can't talk about 12 without step six. How about ending? And all this crap in my head goes crazy. So I usually wait till I get here. Well, I made the mistake earlier of telling my girlfriend, hey, you know, this reading right here, what do you think I should I talk about tradition one, anonymity, the importance or the difference, the unity, what keeps us apart? What should I talk about? She says, why don't you talk about all of them? And I thought, fuck, that's great. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to keep all those and kind of pull them together. I want to read this. You know, context is important because there's things that I can pull from the literature. And I see this a lot. I see people cherry pick the literature. They'll take a part of a sentence and justify their fucked up behavior. It said, this is right here, but on the back it says, yeah, if you're spiritually whatever. Or it may say, well, in case of blah, blah, blah. But don't read that part. So I always, whenever I have something to lead on or talk about, I always like to read the whole paragraph that it's in. And this comes from tradition one. And it says, anonymity, I don't know if you know Mark A. at all, but he came, we used to live together. And he came home one day and he says, what's the spiritual foundation of tradition? So I gave him principles and I gave him all kinds of shit. And he said, no, that's not. I said, well, and he goes, what about the spiritual foundation of tradition seven? And I got all this shit. He goes, no, that's not right. He says, the spiritual foundation is anonymity for all the traditions.
Yeah.
And anonymity means to me is this, we're all the same. You know, this. Well, let me finish reading this thing. I'll get a little sideways. Just a little bit of history of me. I'm not completely here right now. I just came off some chemo shit, and so my brain's a little fried a little bit, and more than a little bit. But I'll say about this. I got cancer of the esophagus, and I was laying in bed, and I would use that to manipulate my girlfriend to give me some fucking ice cream or something. And so I'm laying there, and I'm going like, she goes, what? She goes, I could really use some ice cream. She says, well, you don't got cancer of the leg. Get your fucking ass up and get some ice cream. That's her right there. Yep.
She told your ass to do it her mind.
That's a badass shit.
Get your ass up.
It says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions. Supports NA unity as well. When we apply anonymity to the first tradition, we overlook the differences that would separate us. In this context of unity, anonymity means that the message of recovery is for every addict who wants it. We learn to set aside our prejudices and focus on our common identity as addicts. Each of us has equal rights to and responsibility for the well-being of Narcotics Anonymous. Now, when I first read that, I went to the prejudice part. You know, I was thinking about, man, you know, I see all, there's a lot of racism in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man. And I've practiced that in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I've done that shit, man. I've done that. You know, I don't do it anymore, but I've done that shit. And I got to tell you, man, that's where I wanted to focus on, that piece right there. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus about the greater good of Narcotics Anonymous. Because that shit that I had done before did not help the growth of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Didn't contribute to anything. See, sometimes because I got a little bit of fucking clean time, I think I know some shit. I know literature well. You know, I know how to sponsor people. I know how to work steps, traditions, concepts. I know all that bullshit. But guess what?
That doesn't make me right. Mm-hmm. And man, when I get into a place where we've got to figure out what's better for the group, I think, well, this must be it. And they go, no, no. And I go, what do you mean? Well, what's the bigger picture? Looking at that bigger picture is so important. You know, I think about tradition one, and I think about the principle of unity, and I think about how important it is. And don't misunderstand me here, is that I don't have to work all the steps to practice unity, but I can understand unity better if I practice all the steps before I get there. And what that means is that I need to practice those principles that I've learned between 1 and 12, all them fuckers right in between, in order to do unity. Because I can sit in a group conscious meeting, or I can sit somewhere, and I don't like a motherfucker for whatever reason. I don't need to have a reason. Uh-huh. I do not need to have a reason. One thing I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is this. If I don't like you, there's something about me I'm not liking right now. If I'm not okay with you, I'm not okay with me right now. That's the bottom line. And if I think you're wrong, I'm probably wrong. But I hate admitting that I'm wrong, man. I did. It's absolutely. Yeah, that's my sponsor profit. So, I was thinking about how important 6 and 7 is for me to practice immunity. That I really have to look at my defects of characters and my shortcomings and how they come out. You know, why am I acting the way that I'm acting at this moment right now? And I wish I could say I could just like, ding, ding, it goes like that. I'm not that smart. I need to bounce that off somebody. I need to bring that up to somebody's table. We have this sponsorship walk that we do, and we talk about a separate tradition. We go like 6 miles, 7 miles, and we go like 3.5 miles, talk about step one, maybe tradition one, whatever the month is. And so one day we're up there and we're doing tradition 10. And there was a guy there, and he was fucking wrong about the literature. And I let him know how fucking wrong he was about the literature. And I just, me, you know, all that you stupid shit, man. And when I got done with that, I thought, okay, and now he knows. Well, until later, I was thinking about it, and I thought, fuck, I better call my sponsor and see what he thinks about that. Of course, as soon as I called him, he says, well, you just calling me means you probably have to make some fucking amends. You know, so I had to clean that up. I had to make that phone call, and it sucked. It was horrible. But it got done. And I was thinking about those moments like that, about unity, how much I'm practicing disunity. I can practice disunity by shit I put on Facebook. You know, I've seen people put stuff on there just to start some shit and then walk away. And next you see everybody, how much they hate Narcotics Anonymous or, you know, blah, 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 or shit that has nothing to do. One thing that our literature talks about is the shit that I bring to the meetings needs to be NA shit. You know, there's great things out there that are really close to us, but if it's not NA, it's not NA, man. It's that simple, man. I started blurring that message. And guess what the message that I blurred? What happens down the road is someone will fucking die because I don't got a clear message. You know, I think about, you know, a lot of times people think, well, what difference does it make that, you know, what our message is, or that we're all the same, or even unity, or why do I have to introduce myself as this or that or whatever? And I always like to think about this. This is from our step working guide. My grand sponsor over there, he always says there's 3 words that addicts hate. That's step working guide.
They hate it.
And it says, and this is from page 121, it's in the 12th step. Imagine that, right before fucking tradition one. Crazy, I don't know how they do that. We often say to one another that we're fortunate to have this program. It gives us a way to cope with life on life's terms. And that's a true fact right there, man. It really is. After we stay clean for a time, we realize that the principles of Narcotics Anonymous are actually completely universal and could probably change the world if everyone practiced it. Yeah, I agree. We may begin to wonder why we don't open NA to all those who have any kind of problem. As we have learned from our predecessors, we've got some predecessors, having a single purpose is probably one of the most effective ways of ensuring that the opportunity will remain for an addict, didn't say recovering addict or grateful addict or anti-addict, to find the identification he or she needs. Here's the money shot. If NA tried to be all things to all people, an addict might walk in wanting only to know how to stop using drugs and not be able to find someone who knew. That's why it's fucking important, that piece right there, man. You know, when I think about, you know, I think about that unity and how big this thing is. This is, the first probably 10 years, well, first 6-7 years, I just wandered around here. My grand sponsor says, lording with the intent to recover. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was doing. I wasn't working in fucking steps. I was going to all the dances and going to the meeting, talking shit, you know, acting like I was fucking working steps. Someone said that's exhausting. I never thought about that. That's a full-time job, pretending you're doing something you're not doing. And talking to Mean Game and all that shit for 6 or 7 years, man. Before I picked up
some literature and a sponsor that knew how to work, not knew how to work, so was working steps and was working principles in his life. And that's what changed my life right there, man, just doing that one thing right there. And but I was always the guy there that would always wonder, what do we talk about this in meetings? Or what do we, you know, that old fucker right there, he has so much time, he's crispy. You know, shit like that. That was me. That was a guy that always knew, had a little bit of time, and, you know, wanted to run my job about shit I didn't know anything about. That's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did for a long, long time. It's not until I started doing some steps and doing some work. I'm a little slow, so forgive me.
It's all right.
Living Clean has some really good stuff on identification, too. And I love our literature, man. I do. And I love all our literature. And I wish I could say that as soon as the book comes out, I'm real happy. That's a fucking lie. You know, when this came out, I was going, why aren't you reading the basic text? That's all you fucking need to do. You know, what the hell? You know? Then I picked it up and I read it. And I thought, holy shit, there's some good shit in here, man. You know, that's my experience. That's not an opinion. That's my experience. Somewhere in here. Oh, some of us stay entirely within the sphere of recovery. You know, there was a time when I first got clean that all my life was just about Narcotics Anonymous. In fact, I hid out of Narcotics Anonymous. This is all I did. You know, then someone pulled me aside and said, you know, this is where you come to practice life stuff in order to do it out there. And if I can practice a principle with you guys, I sure the fucking practice them out there with them guys, you know. But here's the kicker right here, man. See, because you got a program or you say you have a fucking program, I believe that you should know better. And you shouldn't be act that way. You know, that's not true, man. I get to practice that here. You know, one of the things about, you know, disunity and talking about how things can separate us is that I think about sometimes how I would think that because I had some time, because I worked some steps, and because I'm grateful for all that shit, that I'm better off than the normal person walking around out there on the street because they don't have a program. Guess what? There's people out there, millions of people out there that don't need to follow instructions on the fucking wall on how to act. I need to do that. But yet I think I'm better than them. You know, I can't even unify myself with them. You know, when I practice unity in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I need to practice that shit with my family. I need to practice at work. I need to practice all those other places. And that's a difficult part. But I first come here to see if it can work in here. And sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. It says, all of our friends are in recovery. Our whole world is tied up with a fellowship. Not because we're afraid to venture out, but because we derive so much satisfaction from the rich interactions we have in NA. The way we share, the level of deep identification that makes NA feel so special to us. You know, I remember when I first came in the rooms of Narcotics and I was to really relate to somebody. You know, that language of empathy that we talk about? Empathy is just fucking understanding where they're coming from without even having to say anything. That's a powerful, powerful language, man. It's not compassion, not sympathy, and it's sure the fucking apathy. It's empathy, man, and we needed to have humility, man. It's really important. Our literature talks about that. The way we share, the level of deep identification makes NA feel so special to us. Talking openly about feelings, finding humor, and some of the darkest, most frightening things that have happened to us is not always available outside the rooms. And those are the things that I got to remember, that relationship that he had. You know, we talk about some things in rooms in Narcotics Anonymous that no one else would fucking understand. Some, you know, for a long, long time, I used to say, you know, Narcotics Anonymous has some scandalous motherfuckers.
And
guess what? Sometimes I get to be that scandalous motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
So,
I got to see what that means.
I think about that. It's like, I'm man, I don't want to get too scattered here, guys, so you have to keep me fucking focused a little bit. We learn to set aside our prejudice and focus on our common identity as addicts. And I think about how that traditional one, once I can get, it's sort of like step one, when I wrap my head around honesty, and there's a lot of principles, so don't walk out of here saying, Michael Rayl says that honesty is the only principle. You gotta step one. Okay, that's not what I'm fucking saying. What I'm saying is that's a really important principle that I've been taught is honesty. When I wrap my head around that principle, the rest of the steps, I was able to use honesty to get through them. The same thing with tradition one. The more I can wrap my head around unity, the more the rest of the traditions will start to make sense to me. Because I start practicing that. I need to put that shit down and start to understand what that means. And it starts with anonymity. Yeah. We're all the fucking same, man. You know how hard it is to say that to someone you fucking hate in Narcotics Anonymous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, man. You know, I want to go like... If that guy, you know, I'll post shit. Well, I'll type shit up on Facebook, and then I have my girlfriend tell me to erase it.
You know,
and it has a lot to do. And the speaker before me was talking about how, you know, sometimes I become real self-righteous. Mm-hmm. And when I start becoming real self-righteous, and our 10-step talks about this a lot, about going from being right, and I demand that you're right like me, I become self-righteous. Demanding that you're right like me makes me self-righteous. You see, and I can use the program Narcotics Anonymous and quote shit out of here and use my clean time and all that crap to make me so fucking right, but it makes me self-righteous, man. And that's the intent behind it that's so important around that. When I start feeling like that or start thinking like that, it means I have to do some 10-step shit. Whatever principle I'm lacking in my life that I'm having a hard time with, especially trying to practice some unity, it's usually a step behind it that I'm not doing.
Well,
now, here recently, I've been really stuck on my 4-step a lot. I've been on it for months on this 4-step, and this is my 15, 16 4-steps. I've done a lot of fucking 4-steps. And I'm stuck on this. And I used to say, well, I just, you know, I'm lazy. Which I am. I'm fucking super lazy, man. I'm fucking procrastinating shit out of stuff. And I am lazy, and I'm going, yeah. You know what the real reason is? The real reason is that I don't want to talk about those anger and resentments right now on paper, because I don't want to talk about what's really going on with my world.
That's good.
It's easier to, you know, to have the humor or bitch about how I feel or whatever that is than for me to put this anger and resentment down that I need. But I also know our literature says that if I don't do that shit, I'm going to get fucking high.
Come on, mm-hmm. Show D, man. Yep.
And therefore, you know what? I'm not good for the greater good of Narcotics Anonymous if I'm fucking high. So, okay. One more thing, guys, here. Just bear with me. Let's talk about unity, and it's also out of Living Clean. It talks about part of what makes unity so vital is our recovery is that it can be easy to forget how similar we are. I forget about that. And that's why I think empathy is so important for me. If I can empathize with you, I can relate to you. If I can relate to you, we're going to be okay. When I can't relate to you anymore because you come to that fucking door 100 times already, I can't relate to you anymore because I only went 99 times, you know, I stop relating to that. And when I do that, I start closing my mind off to the newcomer that's coming in the room. The reason that I go to a lot of meetings is because I need to go to meetings where there's newcomers in there. I forget what it is to have a year, 6 months, 9 months, 30 days. I forget that I acted just like that person did over there. And I wasn't pointing at you, Wendy. I don't want to act just like that person right over there, you know. I don't want to do that because I've done that before. But I got to remember how I used to act, so when I become judgmental of others, that's what's going on. Part of what makes unity so vital is our recovery is that it can easily forget how similar we are. Even after having been here for a while, we can see our differences as separating us, rather than bringing us the freedom that we need to grow into ourselves. It's one thing to reach out to a newcomer we hardly know, but when we have known each other for years and still don't care much for each other, it may take a little more effort to reach across the divide. That's some real shit, man. We can see that a personality that doesn't appeal to us may still be able to carry the message to someone who couldn't reach ourselves. You know, and I think about this because I talk to my sponsor. If I dog people, I talk to my sponsor about it. That's where I go with my shit. You know, I go to him and there's maybe one other person. And I talk about that, but I always try to follow it up with this. That person has helped a lot of fucking people. There's not been a time that I haven't said that where I know that person has helped a lot of fucking people. Maybe not done how I did it, or maybe say shit that isn't even fucking true, but he's helped a lot of people, man. I got to remember that piece because all of a sudden I'm different than him. It says, we can see that a personality doesn't appeal to us may still be able to carry the message to someone who couldn't reach ourselves. Having concern for each other in spite of our personal feelings can bring us surprising rewards. Mm-hmm. When we find ourselves caring about someone that we don't like or don't know, we can feel our shared humility. And we recognize that a new level of spirituality in ourselves. And, you know, and this all comes down to, you know, the guy last night. God, he was long-winded as fuck, but
he talked about that's cold, lady.
He talked about, you know, the emotional part, the mental part, and the spiritual part. And I think about how this stuff right here, I mean, the parts that I struggle with in Narcotics Anonymous, whether it's with unity, whether it's a tradition of compassion or a principle of compassion or unconditional love or any of that shit, is a spiritual aspect of that work right there. That's what I struggle with. That's the piece that, you know, how spiritual am I right now when I'm thinking, how can I fucking sabotage this motherfucker? You know, he's trying to move up the ranks on popularity or fucking group comment, whatever. Stupid shit. Eighth grade shit, actually. Eighth grade shit. And I will play it. And I go, how can I sabotage this? Okay, there's nothing spiritual about that shit. In fact, our literature in the basic text, it talks about if the solution isn't practical, it's not spiritual.
That's right. That's right.
You know how much shit that eliminates in my life? How many people that eliminates out of my life?
How many?
Because I want to make something practical. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I have this will, you know, that I think is so powerful at times. You know, and there's in step three in the Works Out of Why, it talks about how one of the attributes of self-will is something. It's something really powerful, too. And disobedience or some shit like that. Outright defiance. That's what it is. And that's one of my favorite. I love being outright defiant, especially towards spiritual matters. You know, I'm not the guy that will embrace spiritual stuff all the time. I just won't. It's not that I can't. It's just that I won't. For whatever reason, I won't do that. And I think about, when I talk about this sentence that we're talking about today, I think about those times that I refuse to do anything about that and want to go to some disunity crap that's going on, and not to put the greater good of Narcotics Anonymous. And it all goes back to me. The more I work on me, actually, I remember when I was I'd done the seven step, I don't know how many times, and my sponsor said something along the lines I said, what do we have to do this fucking world? What do I have to be okay with me? He said, well, if you're not okay with you, you'll never be okay with anybody else, and you need these guys to stay clean. And I thought about that, and taking it to another level. This is the whole thing about Narcotics Anonymous. There's always another level. There's either a deeper level of surrender, acceptance, or a higher level of blah, 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 blah. But there's always different levels. And I think about that acceptance right there on why I need to be okay with others in order for Narcotics Anonymous to be okay. You know, that's a big, big deal. I think one more thing, guys. And, yes. Almost forgot.
What you got?
Basically. You know what the fucking book is? This is it. Right?
Fucking book.
If it comes around, I always sign up to read the fucking book. And people go, which book are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this one.
The fucking book. The fucking book. I like that. Simple.
Probably one of the most powerful statements that I've read in Narcotics Anonymous.
Come on, wait a minute.
And I love it. And I mean, it's so important. It's so important that it really is on a page by itself. It's on a page by fucking self. And so I'm thinking the people that wrote this must have thought it was pretty important to do that shit. And it says, my gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others in any way. Hey, guys, thank you for putting up with me. I know I wasn't real on top of it, but thank you for your time.
Help me thank Mike R. for sharing his experience, strength, and hope with us. And thank you for allowing me to serve as your chairperson for this workshop. Will you please join me in the middle, in making a circle and closing the meeting with the third step prayer?
Now, see, my man won't say he ain't thank me. I'm just playing with you.
I
ain't seen it. I guess you don't know how my position is.
We're making a circle, man, not a pyramid.
I know, right?
No, don't be sorry. Thank you.